Good morning and welcome to the Project Drive Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, we had a very exciting set of assignments, which I would start reading if my computer cooperated. Ah, here it is. So, on Friday, one doesn't discover new lands without consenting to lose sight of the shore for a long time. It's fascinating. To consider that in every moment, we're making a choice between suffering and not suffering. It seems inconceivable that anyone given a choice would consent to suffering, yet we do. The truth of, if I am suffering, I'm choosing something over ending suffering, is our experience time and time again. Contrary to what the voices of self-hate might say, what's wrong with you? How pathetic that you continue to choose to suffer. You can't even choose presence. The fact that I still suffer doesn't mean anything about me. Suffering exists. Being able to accept that suffering exists while not taking it personally is the practice of the First Noble Truth. Indulging in the guilt of having an ego is one of ego's favorite ways of keeping itself alive. Our practice is to keep bringing attention to how we unconsciously choose suffering and in that growing awareness make a different choice. Today, make a recording that celebrates the willingness of the practitioner. Describe the new lands you've discovered as a result. August 5th. If you're going through hell, keep going. We're unlikely to hear the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, encouraging us to go through whatever we're going through. We're more likely to hear what's wrong with what is, how it should be different, how we need to fix it, how to avoid it in the future. Anything other than being present to whatever is now. In fact, if we're present, we recognize there is no other option than going through life. So much time and energy is dissipated in maintaining the illusion that we can somehow avoid or resist the painful aspects of being human. In dropping that conversation and greeting life with curiosity, wonder, willingness, and openness, we go through life without suffering. Today, whatever arises, keep going through with a smile. Record and listen. August 6th. Every moment is a golden one for those who have the vision to recognize it as such. It always seems to come down to this, doesn't it? What lens are we viewing life through? A lens of conscious awareness or a lens of karmic conditioning? It's important to note that we all have the ability to see life as life. That the vision to recognize golden moments does not belong to a lucky few. To awaken from the sleep of ignorance is a process we can all practice. What's required is to have seen. We recognize the limits of seeing through ego spectacles. We open to the possibility of seeing without them. And we train to remember that we have the ability not to see in the way we have been conditioned to see. When we drop into here, unfettered by the limits of ego, the moment is indeed golden. Today, how does the world seem when viewed through the lens of conscious, compassionate awareness? Record and listen. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. It's Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning, Ashwini.
Good morning.
I guess, good morning. Maybe I want to talk about Saturday and Sunday quotes.
Yeah.
And just see what, I'm kind of interested to hear, get some guidance on this, Sherry, but this is what, about Saturday's quote of being with what's here or allowing what's here, not trying to avoid or escape. And this is what I'm noticing, that so if I get identified, there are sensations in the body, and but mostly there's a story, and I don't usually examine the sensations or feel them, really. I'm just vaguely aware that there's a kind of a thing happening in the body. And what I'm noticing is that when I just bring attention to the sensations. Like it doesn't take like it takes like a very short amount of time, like a minute or even less. They kind of evaporate.
Yes.
But the conditioning is don't feel that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you're onto it. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't feel that. Instead, go into a story.
Right.
Don't be in the body. Don't feel that. So yes, sensations in the body pass through very quickly.
Yeah.
Even if there's pain, it actually it's not a constant. We see it as a constant, but it's not.
You mean
okay?
Physical pain, Sherry?
Pardon me?
Physical pain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, physical pain. Yes, physical pain. And it seems like it's a constant because we're in a constant story about it.
Yeah, right.
So there are sensations in the body, most of them, I mean, if you've got a broken arm or something and it just happened, it's going to hurt like a son of a gun, okay? And still, almost none of us will actually be curious enough to be with it and see what it actually feels like and prove to ourselves that contrary to what the voices in the head are saying, we can be present to that and survive. I can stand that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but usually that's not what's going on, right? You're just going around through life, and there are these sensations in the body that just come and go. Just
right.
Come and go. They're there, right. They're not. They're there, they're not. They're there, they're not. But we're
right.
Conditioned by ego to avoid them so that we'll stay in the stories instead of being in direct contact with what's actually happening.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what it is. It's like I'm trained to stay in a story. And the story is usually, well, you know, it's not good. The story is not good. And,
that's right.
And it's somehow associated with the sensations. And then, it's very interesting. But, yeah, there's just like a very small movement to just, feel that clenching sensation or that knot or whatever. And then it's like, yeah, anyway, it's almost like that. That's just, it's,
well,
it's just,
yeah, Virginia, I think you're really catching on to something even more subtle.
Yeah.
So there's a sensation in the body, and the conditioning is to look. Again, this is usually happening under the level of conscious awareness.
Right.
So there's a sensation in the body. There's a label that goes with that. The reaction, and it could just be something along the lines of, oh, God, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not conscious.
Right.
And then there's a fear that comes, a dread that
right.
comes
exactly.
up, which gets
exactly.
translated into a story, right?
Right?
And then
yeah.
with that story comes the clenching, the pushing away.
Yeah.
We have to go through that process now to get to what the sensations are. What's possible for us after we do some awareness practice is to keep attention on the body and watch it from the other direction. Instead of, I'm out here in this story about, and I have no idea what it's attached to, okay? It's just a story of, this is what's wrong and with you, and it's hard, and it's not going to, and it's
right.
whatever, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know why I'm thinking those thoughts. I don't know.
Yeah.
So then we start going back through, paying attention, and we begin to see that, it seems like every time there's this sensation in my stomach, I get into these anxious thoughts, okay? So there's that direction. But there's also just keeping attention with the body. And then you watch how you eat and the digestion starts, the digestion process starts, and you watch conditioned mind throw a label on that of you have that meeting later today.
Right.
Oh, and you're not prepared for it. And what if, okay?
Right.
And after you pay attention to that for a while, you'll realize that that sensation that's nothing more than your body starting a process of digestion
yeah.
gets used by conditioned mind to create the story of anxiety.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So we can go at it from both ways. And in awareness practice, we do. We back it up. What the heck triggered that? And then we learn to just keep attention with the body and watch how there's that little flicker there, there's that little twinge there, and there's a story that
yes.
pops into conditioned mind. Now, it does, the story in conditioned mind isn't, oh, there was that twinge near your heart, and so here's the story that goes with that.
Right.
It's there's that twinge, and then you realize there's this picture in your head, or there's this story in your head, or you're gone to this memory, or whatever it is. And after you watch it for a while, you realize those are connected. That's not random.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is exactly my experience. And
And Virginia, it's the exact experience of anybody who's paying attention, because it's how it works.
Okay.
Right? So
yeah.
And to me, I say that because that's very comforting. All this stuff that happens to us is not unique.
Right.
It is how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, it's how it works. Yeah, because once that thing happens, I don't know. Well, I just spent so much of my life ignoring the what was happening in my body, but you can't really ignore it because it's uncomfortable. But then just like getting hooked into that story. I don't know. It's such a simple way to work with it that I guess I couldn't have done before, but now apparently is available to me.
That's exactly right. It is not available to us before it's available to us.
Right.
And what people begin to discover is there's this big conditioned belief system that the body is a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
And then when we start inhabiting the body, actually living in it, we realize, well, it's not uncomfortable. There's nothing fearful about it.
Right.
Those are
right.
all stories.
Right.
So when we're right here, again, what you started off with, there are sensations in the body and they just pass through.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. And I can experience the sensations. I mean, like,
yes,
I can have those sensations.
Yes.
Yeah. That's really exciting, actually, Sherry.
You can feel what it feels like to be a human being animated by the life force that animates us all.
Wow.
You can be right here for it. And since we're looking at this level, it is our experience of presence.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fastest trip to presence, because when we're actually focused in the body, as the body is in relationship, is being animated, we're living in this here now.
Yeah.
It's not a thinking process.
Right. It's a being process.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Well,
you got it. You got it, sister.
All right.
Go have fun.
All right. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Virginia.
Appreciate it. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Virginia. Wow, what a wonderful adventure in paying attention, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
That I loved what you said, that being in the body is the experience of being alive, not only because mm-hmm. when we're in it, we're not in the head and we're here, but I never saw that before, that there's an organic experience of living which is only felt and registered because we are a body.
Yes.
Right.
And we can see how an illusion of something, ego, the illusion of being able to live outside of life, is really opposed to that, makes a presence to what is seem dangerous. So we won't do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I remember how sometimes putting my hand on a sleeping cat or any cat, and you can feel the pulse of life vibrating in the cat. It's so alive,
mm-hmm.
right? There's such an experience of life in that communication
form. Uh-huh.
In that form. And so to be able to have that experience of ourselves in listening to our heartbeat or the feel of
feeling the breath,
blood in our veins or touch or everything is such a concrete experience of life animating.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
And we give that up to go into conditioned minds, endless drivel about what's wrong.
Or avoiding that because some of it is within quotes, uncomfortable.
Yes. And, of course, again, the uncomfortable is always in the mind. Uncomfortable is not a body experience.
True.
Just like depression is not a feeling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini. This is Karen.
Hi,
hello,
Karen.
Karen.
Hi. I just wanted to say wow. I'll echo that wow. You know, and I love how these three quotes, they're seamless with each other. You know, we choose to end suffering, and then, you know, and we walk through hell, and we keep going, and then and every moment's a golden moment. I mean, it's all the same process.
Oh, nicely. yes, well done. Yes, they are the same, aren't they?
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah.
So it was really thrilling. And the idea of, you know, having my attention guided by ego to stay away from body sensations, it was so thrilling when I realized that whatever sensation I was feeling and being trying to avoid is exactly there to be felt. I mean, I got the connection that it's dangerous. I mean, you know, that whole idea is I can't stand this because ego can't stand it because if I'm there, then it's not.
Yes, exactly so. That is so well stated. Ego can't stand it because it's not there. We're present. And what we're going to see in that moment is, what was I thinking? This is not awful. This is not awful. There are really so few moments that when we're present, we can even get to how would this be called awful?
Yes, only by conditioning.
Yeah, not that there aren't people, you know, and there are voices out there screaming right now, because there are people who are in chronic pain and having all sorts of experiences. But I would challenge even those people to drop the story and get in relationship with the body, with what's actually going on with the body, and see if what we're talking about isn't their experience as well.
And lately, I'm going through some kind of a rough patch, and the sensations are one of low energy and feeling vulnerable and a lot of resistance. And just today I had the opportunity to be on the call, and often I don't want to. And it was just kind of like going through slow motion to pick up the phone and make the call, because that's exactly where I wanted to be. And it wasn't without it's just so interesting to watch that presence and then to watch the intensity and then become interested in it. I mean, I'm moving to this place of, wow, this is kind of interesting.
Yes, and Karen, what you're laying out is awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're laying out. So you have an experience of low energy in the body. Now, in and of itself, that is not a problem. But the voices are going to make it a problem, because then, as we've established, you'll give all of the attention to the voices. What you're describing now is stepping back enough that you have become interested in what conditioning is doing, rather than agreeing to look at life through the lens of conditioning. So then it becomes really interesting, and this is the part I hope everybody will hear in what you're saying. So your low energy, we could say it's a struggle. There's some suffering with it. It's a hard time. It's a rough patch. Okay, this is not your phase of life, right? And what you know from your experience is that getting connected with Sangha is going to bring you, with practice, is going to bring you freedom from that, relief, release from that. And you watch the resistance to picking up the phone. So what this tells us is the system that is complaining about how you feel and making it wrong and pointing out what the problem is with that is completely invested in you staying there. It's not trying to get you not to pick up the phone because that's what's going to take care of you. It's trying to get you not to pick up the phone because that's what's going to keep you in its grip. And that is so critical to see.
It is. And then to have the experience of having the grip loosen, you know, feeling being present, you know, feeling turning the attention to happiness and watching that process happen is really thrilling.
Yes, and getting that the I that doesn't want to is not me.
Mm-hmm.
The I that doesn't want to is ego. I don't want to, I don't feel like it. We've been talking about that book a lot. I don't want to, I don't feel like it. That is ego talking. And we cannot be fooled into thinking that it's us.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're describing is such a clear example of that. That I don't want to is to keep us stuck in suffering and out of presence because, as was pointed out, when we're present, that I doesn't exist.
And that's why listening to recordings during times like this is very crucial. I'm totally plugged in.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the resistance to that, I bet, is powerful. Right?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. But it's a lifesaver.
Yeah. And the whole process is so mysterious until we see it. Because it doesn't seem like that. You know, it seems like there's really something wrong with me, and I need to address what's wrong with me, and that's all going to happen in my head. I got to figure this out. I got to, you know, whatever it is. And seeing that, no, that's just ego trying to keep suffering alive, trying to keep us out of the present. The way out is to turn our attention to this here now. And the fastest way to do that we've found, is listening to expressions that come from center or as close to center as we can get.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
All right. Very helpful. Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Karen. It's I just wanted to reflect something you said, right, Sherry, that we are not when we can look to see that it's conditioning's resistance, rather than believing that we are conditioning's resistance, that's such a major step in practice.
It is, isn't it?
And,
and
then to do that thing about not just reporting that we can see it, but actually doing what will change it, in quotes,
yes,
is so important.
Yes.
That I don't feel like I want to get on the call, or I don't feel like I want to listen to recordings. We could potentially say that if we are in that, that's what we do. But to reach for the recorder or get on the call despite what the voices are saying is just such an important step to the second part of the program, which is not believing it and staying stuck in that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, two things that you're talking about that are really important. One is not looking to how I feel for the choice I'm making. We really got to get over looking to how we feel. And as you say, I just pick up the recorder, right, or I just turn on the archives, or I just get to meditation or to group or to whatever it is. How I feel is completely irrelevant because I'm going to look to conditioned mind to find out how I feel, and it's going to lie to me. And the second piece of that is what you and I have been talking about quite a bit lately, which is we need to bring back into the conversation, without a change of behavior, there is not a change in consciousness. So I can have an insight that just lights me up completely, but if I don't act on that insight, then it's just going to, the insight, the clarity is just going to fade away, right? So when I have clarity about something like we're talking about now, I hear the voice, I don't feel good, I'm depressed, I'm whatever it is, and the voice says, I don't want to get on the call. the change of behavior that's going to make the change of consciousness available to me 24/7 is I do the thing that's going to bring me back to center. I make the choice that's going to bring me back to center, not the choice to stay in the conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Big.
Oh, it is big. And I believe we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So next caller,
right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry Sweeney. This is Anne. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Well, the reason I'm thrilled is because I'm actually using my computer for the first time, and I'm out of the country, and I'm calling, and I'm just ecstatic.
Ben, I'll tell you, you sound really good if you're calling off your computer from out of the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know we don't have much time, and I know we're committed to ending on time, but I just wanted to say how incredible it is to have this practice tool and feel no matter where you are in the world, you can be connected to Sangha.
Isn't that extraordinary?
You know,
I read a lot of old Zen stuff, you know, and these guys, let's face it, they were guys because back with this old Zen days, not a lot of women were doing very much except cooking and cleaning and having kids. But if somebody wanted to study Zen, you know, they would put on their little sandals and wrap their earthly possessions in a little bag, put a stick in the bag on their shoulder, and they would walk. And sometimes they would walk for months to get to a place where they could be with people who were practicing and talking about practice.
Yeah.
Here we are. You know, you've got your computer. You're in another part of the world. You tune in. You're right here with us. I mean, not to lose sight. So then it's a matter of I need to choose to turn on my computer,
yes.
Right? Not, shall I walk the 4 months that it's going to take to get to? Yeah. We're lucky people.
Yes. Well, it's intriguing what you just said about resistance because, of course, the resistance is still there, but we are very fortunate that it's easier to overcome because, like you said, turning on a computer is way easier than walking 4 miles through the snow.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it becomes easier to see the resistance for what it is and to question it, you know, to question the voice that says, so I have two choices. I could eat something healthy or I could eat junk. And I reach for the healthy choice, and the voice says, I don't want to. I don't want to eat that. Well, I mean, hopefully we're going to turn around and look at that voice and say, what? What? You're saying you don't want me to be healthy? I think I'm not going to be fooled any longer that you're me and you're on my side.
Yes, and I see I'm kind of time, but I just, and then also I can do my reflective listening buddy call. So, you know, there's all the support tools no matter where we are in the world, and I'm just so grateful for that. So thank you.
Yes, I'm grateful for that too. It's wonderful to hear your voice. Travel safely.
Okay.
Thanks for checking in.
I'll be with you all week and all year, so thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What
right,
a great
Sherry,
reminder, huh?
Yes,
what a
absolutely.
Great reminder. And this whole call, I've really appreciated this focus on getting clearer and clearer that voice of resistance is not me, is not on my side, is not taking care of me. In fact, quite the opposite, is using me to be a suffering emotion, energy generating factory so that all of my life force will go to it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Good
exactly.
to see.
Well, here's our assignment for today. Very
okay.
apropos. People think love is an emotion. Love is good sense. What is good
love
sense?
Love is what, Ashwini? Love is good sense?
Yes, good sense.
Okay.
What is good sense? Good sense can be defined as wisdom, discernment, sagacity, intelligence, cleverness. A familiar example of love as good sense can be found in our exchanges with the mentor. The mentor is always wise, with a perspective that is profound yet practical. What strikes us is the clarity with which the mentor can express what we need to hear. And no matter what information the mentor gives us, we never question the unconditional love that anchors that wisdom. This is perhaps why the sutras say, Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom of the heart, the highest wisdom. When we allow ourselves to explore something like love beyond the conditioned and conventional meanings of it, we touch into dimensions of conscious awareness we never knew existed. Today, explore love not as an emotion, not something to think about, but as good sense. Record and listen.
Wow. What fun.
What fun.
And we can explore it, as Virginia started us out and Karen followed up, as simply the sensations in the body of life animating us that get the label love.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care, everybody,
thanks,
and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.